The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hello, Dr. Ray.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Well, I don't know about that.
You're right on track with this. You're right on track.
My idea, my theory, my guidance is a bit of a stretch.
Everybody make a mistake.
Does that comfort you?
No.
Am I close?
No.
You are so wrong.
You're so wonderful.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
Someone intelligent on radio. Yay!
Did I make you feel a lot better or what?
No, you made me feel worse.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
How can you be so wrong and so wonderful? Saying the same thing. It tells you one thing. People interpret it. They read motives very individually. Somebody can love you for a personality trait that you have. They think it's a wonderful trait. And another person can look at that trait and think it's the ugliest thing they've ever seen. Ain't that the way it is? Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarindi. Program here. Doctor Is In. Well, my goal is just to have slightly over 50% of the people thinking I'm okay. Slightly over 50. If I go over 50, I'm doing okay. That's the way it is with my kids, you know, by the way. Yeah, I know. I always, you know how kids tell you, I don't like you. 3 years old, I don't like you. Never really bothered me. Because I always knew I had 5 or 6 kids who did. Yeah, any given moment, I had about a 50% approval rating as a parent. That's not bad. All right, the program here, Doctor Is In, dispensing a very potent drug, since gone off a brand name. It was Docazin, very powerful drug. You get it through your ears. Well-being, no known side effects, IQ raising. Oh, yeah, it's almost like one of those medicine show drugs that does all kinds of wonderful things as they traveled through the towns out west and sold their snake juice. Well, it's not snake juice, psych juice. I'd rather call it psych juice. The generic version, because we did have to go off patent, of Docazin is tricyclonol. Same thing, same effects, just a lot cheaper. Matter of fact, as I understand it, some of you listening to this program aren't paying a dime to listen to this program. So apparently that's about as cheap as it gets. Well, then the advice is going to be about the same to you. Get what you pay for. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program. I'm a psychologist. That's what I do for a living. Spend time in the office in the mornings and the afternoons, and I usually split it up by coming here, visit with you folks. Now, I don't do psychology stuff here. We do education stuff. Give a few ideas, a few suggestions. You ponder it. You're the ultimate decision maker, not me. And sometimes people call because they want to help somebody else out. Had a couple of those yesterday. Someone called in and said, hey, I had a similar experience. This is what I did with it. Good stuff. I steal it. I plagiarize it. I put it in books. And I make money. Thank you. Thank you very much for writing my books for me. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. I would love to hear from you. I asked a group of parents one night, probably about 7,500 folks there, how many of you are getting the help around the house that you would like from your teenagers? I counted the hands. Didn't take me long. There was three of them, three hands. And those three parents, they risked, I mean, they really truly risked the wrath of the other 70-some parents, because obviously they were either lying or they were actually getting the kind of help they wanted around the house, and these other parents were thinking, how are you able to do that and I'm not? I asked my second question. If you are not getting the help around the house that you would like, why not? And I polled the audience there. Actually, it's interesting. They were paying me to give the talk, but I turned it on them, and I got paid for letting them talk. The top three answers. Survey says, one, It's easier for me to do it myself. Don't want to go through the hassle. That was number one answer, by the way. Two, they're so busy with school, extracurricular activities, we really just don't have that much time. By the time they get home, by the time they eat, by the time they do whatever schoolwork they have to do, we don't have that much time. And the third answer was, there just isn't much to ask. I.e., this is not a farm in Peoria in 1880. You don't have to get up at 4 in the morning and milk the cows and gather up the eggs from the chickens and all of that. There just isn't a whole lot to do anymore in the standard American home. Okay. Then I got to talk. And I said, well, wouldn't it be better if you would teach the kids, if you would find things for them to do? Because business people, small business people, owners will tell you the number one problem is finding reliable, willing to work help. The stories that I'm hearing as I talk to small business people, their clients or their friends, and I ask them, and it's gotten way worse than it was even 15 years ago. Way, way worse. They'll say typically that, let's say they interview 20. They have them scheduled for an interview. About at least half of them don't show up for the first interview. If they show up, and if, in fact, they get the job, half of those don't show up first day of work. Of those that do show up, after about a week or two, if one of them is still working, that's a victory. Now, it leads me to wonder, okay, one, how they making it? Where are they getting money to live on? But it's another story. But it reflects, I think, lack of a work ethic, and that work ethic begins at home. I always say to moms of teenagers that your everyday housework should be coming to a close. You've got very healthy, strong, full of energy, 14, 15, 16-year-olds. There's so much they could be doing. Now, let's get on to the hassle part of it. Yeah, it's just a hassle for me to try to get them to do it. Well, there's a simple rule you could implement. Very, very effective. You have certain things you need to do. And until you do them, don't ask for any freedom or privileges. You're not getting the car. You're not getting on the computer. You're not going anywhere. Not going to happen. These things have to be done. That's simple. It's real simple. And now they may initially resist. They may drag their feet. They may look like they're coming off of a binge as you ask them to put their pillow back up on the couch. But in fact, most kids, they know the score. The score is you're winning. You simply say, this is what we expect. And then, if you want the normal freedoms that you've become accustomed to, this is what you got to do. Now, the other thing is this. Find jobs. Normally, for example, you wouldn't sweep out the garage. Why not? Sweep it out.
Dr. A, we have a leaf blower, and they could just use the leaf blower.
Well, okay. Use the leaf blower then. Or, I like this very much. We used it in our home. It's called labor. Labor means you have a certain amount of time to do these chores because of what you did. In other words, you were disrespectful or you tormented a sibling or you did something that was really kind of, irresponsible or unpleasant or rude or whatever. Whatever. And as a result, you got a half an hour worth of labor. Now, half an hour worth of labor means you do what everything you do everything you're told in that half an hour without looking like. Once again, you're coming off a binge. You cooperatively do what you're asked to do, and that's your consequence, and then you're free again. I love labor. Labor was great.
Sometimes Randy would give the kids an hour's worth of labor, and, you know, sweeping the living room or dusting stuff or go downstairs and pick up all the toys from the little one. I don't know, just whatever it was, whatever she conjured up. Me, I said things like, yeah, repair the shingles on the second floor of the house, and then after that, change the transmission fluid. And when you're done with that, spray paint the interior of the engine compartment. You know, I find bigger jobs. Are you getting the help you want around the house? If not, why not? I'm Dr. Ray.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. Children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
This program underwritten by...
A battle is raging in America for the plight of the unborn. Now is the time to pray and to get involved. Do not miss the new award-winning movie, The Matter of Life. The Matter of Life has been hailed as the best film ever produced concerning the unborn and can be seen for two nights only in a theater near you. Visit FathomEvents.com now to reserve your tickets for May 16th or May 17th. That's FathomEvents.com. F-A-T-H-O-M Events.com. It's a matter of life.
Do you sweat while putting gasoline in your car? You feel sick when you have to pay for it? You could be suffering from car owner virus. That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. It was sent to me, car owner virus. Okie dokie, let's go to you. Boo, it's already there. Commenting there, the peanut gallery folks in Ave Maria Land already commenting. That's pretty good, though. That's pretty good, though, coronavirus. Susan is calling from Findlay, Ohio, right out there on Route 224, as I've gone through there so many times. Hi, Susan. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Ray. I'm doing well today. Thank you.
That a girl. Oh, wait. Sorry. I can't say that. That a person. Okay, there you go. All righty. So tell me about this. Is it a young man, young girl?
Yes, I have a 7-year-old boy who has Down syndrome, and he's nonverbal, and he has increasingly been just, I guess, impulsive with hitting and knocking things over and just running after whomever, I don't know, take their glasses off, you name it, he might try it. So I just need some help.
Yo.
Trying to
yo
to help him control his impulses. I don't know what to do. The teacher is, saying it's getting increasingly worse. He has more bad days than good days. Can you help me?
When you say nonverbal. I mean, that is a pretty significant impact of the Down syndrome. I mean, I was expecting you to say he's functioning around a 2 to 4 year old level, maybe, but not even that.
Well, he has a communication device that he can communicate with, and he does use signs, but he is nonverbal. He does produce some sound and is reading at school and with his device and with his sounds, but.
He's particularly limited in verbal expression, but in
yes.
terms of comprehension, you'd put him at around a 2, 3, 4 year old level?
Yeah, he's reading some first grade words, too.
Well, that's even a little higher.
Probably.
Okay.
But it's hard to know because.
So given that, has there been any reason why you haven't disciplined him up to this point?
Oh, well, I try to discipline him. I give him timeouts.
Does he take them?
Does he really want to stay? No. With a little assistance, sometimes I can get him to stay.
What has happened here is that you have good instincts, Susan. You want to discipline him, but you haven't been able to make it stick.
Yes, and yes, yes.
And if you can't,
I've done it with three older kids, but now with this circumstance, though, it's just challenging me. He does respond a little bit better to my husband, but I'm with him most of the time.
I want you to use your timeout. I want you to tell him to go. Anytime you think he's being defiant or disrespectful or uncooperative, you tell him to go. And then when he doesn't, you don't fight him. You don't try to hold him there because he's getting bigger and you ain't. And he's getting stronger and you ain't. So that those days are limited. So once he doesn't, and he comes to you and whatever he wishes, if he wants to play with something or he wants a certain kind of dessert or whatever it is, you simply say, no, you didn't go to timeout yet. Now, at that point, you know he's going to erupt, right? He's going to carry on. He's going to throw a fit. He's going to do whatever he does when he's upset.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. You simply tell him you didn't go yet. So after about the fifth or sixth thing that he finds that he can't enjoy because you've said you didn't go to timeout when I said, he will go. What you have to do is change his perception of you. Right now, his perception of you, and I dare say probably his perception of his teacher, although you have a lot more authority than the teacher does. His perception of you is, you can't make me if I don't want you to make me. You said something significant. You said, well, sometimes he does. And the question there would be, well, Susan, who decides the sometimes? Well, he decides the sometimes, depending upon whether he wants to be cooperative for whatever the reason or not. So at any time, he can defy you, resist you, and you're stuck. And what then naturally tends to happen is he becomes more defiant. Why? Well, because he knows the rules. The rules are, I don't have to listen to you if I don't feel like it. And he's progressively feeling like it less and less. So I would suggest that you tell him today, first chance you get. And by the way, here's the other. Okay, wait a minute. Let me not interrupt myself. Tell him first chance you get when mommy tells you to go stand in the corner or go sit on the steps or wherever you use for timeout. If you don't go, when you ask me for something, it's going to be no until you do. And Susan, don't say, okay. You understand? Don't do that. Don't do that. You're not asking him if it's okay. You're not asking him if it's all right. You're telling him this is what we're going to do. Now, it may take a few days for him to realize, my gosh, I better just go there because it's really unpleasant if I don't. Now, the school people, tell them that you want them to send you a brief report of his behavior every day, and then you're going to deal with it at home. whatever you decide to do, whether it's immediate timeout, whether it's go to bed early, whether it's loss of TV, whether it's loss of his video game, whatever it is that you know he absolutely wildly enjoys. And you show him, you say, your teacher said you did this. You're not allowed to do this to your teacher. That's not nice. Well, you don't have your video game tonight. And at which point he'll throw a fit, and then you'll say, okay, go to the corner, and he'll say no, and then you'll start the process again until you shape him into realizing mom means what she says. I think what threw you for a loop, Susan, was when you had three children that were developmentally on target, they were more cooperative. They weren't lingering. Well, they could mature. Yeah, they could mature. Here's an analogy I would use, and please don't misunderstand it.
Okay.
My wife and I had two Rottweilers. Tank, who was 110 pounds, and Delta, who's 90. Now, either one of those Rottweilers, when we got them, they were both pound from the pound, and they were big. Could have torn us up. They didn't know they could have torn us up because we immediately took charge of them in training them. Immediately we established ourselves as we have authority. Don't question it. Now, your son is infinitely smarter than a Rottweiler, okay? Mm-hmm. So he will learn mom has authority if you make it happen. Typically, Susan, when somebody comes into my office describing a situation like your own, they will talk about all that's going on, and 90%+ of the time, they are underestimating what they need to do to establish their authority. And as a result, it gets very ugly. I mean, this child can be unpredictable. This child can be aggressive. This child can be nasty. This child can lash out at you. This child can swing at you. This child can kick you. This child can go crazy. This child mm-hmm. can throw an hour and a half fit. And you're thinking to yourself, I can't live with this another 10 years. But understandable. It'd be hard to do that, but it doesn't have to be that way. So there's just a little primer there. If you want more information, go get my book, Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime. It has a lot of this in it. It's on my website, drray.com. It'll give you a whole bunch of discipline suggestions that would apply even to a young man like yours who at age 7 is functioning somewhere between 2 and 4. Thanks, Susan. Okay. Bless you.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, quick comment here from Mary, who says she's noticing that in addition to not getting people to accept being hired and to stay, there's another problem. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
What do you see?
Not only are the kids not coming to us with a work ethic, but they're coming to us with a sense of, we should be happy that they're working for us and you know, that we're lucky. They don't know how to problem solve for themselves. So when they, you know, get themselves in a situation, it is all of a sudden the employer's responsibility to give them a cash advance or help them find affordable housing. We've actually gone to the point now where we have mental health professionals in our building so that staff can see them on their lunch hour for free because, you know, they have so many traumas and issues, and it's our responsibility to fix it.
What's your business, Mary?
Child care.
Okay. And of these kids that you hire, these young people that you hire, imagine these are probably kids in their 20s anyway, maybe some college graduates, developmental degrees. Would you say they've come from bad environments? Stay there. I want to just poke around on this a little bit. And Richard, I know you're there too. 877-573-7825, number to call. Please give me a call. I'd love to speak with you. Notice the cooperative, speak with you, not speak at you. Well, I'll do that too.
In Christ, we suffer, but it's a suffering that can bear much fruit. Our God can bring good out of the suffering caused by evil. God permits evil, and from the suffering caused by evil, He creates a reality greater than that which could have existed without the possibility of evil entering human experience. In Christ, suffering is fruitful. Those members of the body of Christ who are fruitless are removed. It's dead wood, and that's suffering. But even those members of the body of Christ who are fruitful are pruned. They're trimmed. Daddy squeezes and sometimes spanks in order that we would be more fruitful. Jesus again says, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples."
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What does this strange beatitude mean? Well, Father Victor Feltz points out that George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life embodies this beatitude. He has to sacrifice his bucket list items and his dreams in order to save the building and loan company of Bedford Falls. But by the end of the movie, he realizes that he's truly the richest man in town. The Beatitudes challenge our understanding of happiness both as individuals and as a society. They're paradoxical and they upend our priorities. We don't need anyone to tell us that good fortune, money, and success do often make us happy. But we wouldn't have thought that the road to riches in God's kingdom is paved with meekness. It doesn't mean denying your gifts, but it does challenge us to allow others to have the spotlight and to approach them with gentleness. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. I'm interested in selling my car, so I checked the Kelley Blue Book for the value. You know how you have to put in all the different aspects of the vehicle. And it asked if my tank, my gas tank, was full or empty. Apparently that makes a big difference on what your car is worth. Talking to Mary from Columbus, Ohio. She's involved with child care, and they have a building apparently for a lot of kids are taken care of. Might be a preschool setting. It might be a Head Start setting. And she said that one of the problems they have is also getting staff to accept hiring and to stay. But also that when there's a frustration or when there's a situation that needs to be solved, They kind of expect the employer to figure it out. They kind of expect the employer to take the lead, and they kind of, maybe become a snowflake about this whole thing. Mary, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Here's the question I wanted to ask before the break. Of the people that you hire, to the degree that you can assess it, do they come from what you would consider normal, decent American families? Some of them, anyway.
Most of them, no. We service a clientele on the Near East Side of Columbus, and it's over 75% of our families are at or below 200% of the federal poverty limit. And the majority of our staff are in similar situations. We used to be able to hire people with degrees or at least certificate training or accomplishments, but there's over 1,000 child care positions that are vacant right now in Franklin County. So we're going to high schools at this point in time if they have a vocational program and trying to hire, you know, kids that at least they have that because, the people we're hiring are having trouble with, you know, how do I make formula and how do I change a baby?
I think part of what you're witnessing, and this is societal wide, and I don't want to sound nihilistic or carping about this, but at almost every level, when a society turns its back on God more and more and fractures the family in a million pieces more and more, then it affects everything. It affects how we live, how we function. You have to have so much more child care because there are more broken families. So with the more broken families, you have the more child care. But with the problem with the child care is you can't get people to come in and work. So what you have to do is you have to go further and further into people who are less skilled, younger, more immature. You're trying to make it work, and you run into that problem. So it's a reverberating thing. The reason I ask that question is because of the people you hire. Now, I got to believe you do hire some that are have degrees in child development, and they quickly become supervisors. But of those folks, I guess what I want to say to my listening audience is if you're hearing me and you're hearing what Mary's saying, then it behooves you to be different than the culture at large and expect a lot more in the way of work ethic, a lot more in the way of cooperation around the house from your young people, so that when they get to a point where they are somewhat hireable, they are valuable and they are gold. Now, you know as well as I do, Mary, if you hire somebody and he or she turns out to be responsible, reliable, moral, you're jumping up and down, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's like a bonus. It's not like to be expected anymore. It's like, oh, man, did I get a winner there? I had to go through 57 people to get her, but I got her. Yeah, you're right. And so what I'm saying to the people listening to me is you better be countercultural in all this. You do not go with the flow of the culture in what the culture expects from its kids, in the way the culture entitles its kids, in the way the culture shields its kids from disappointment. You better be different. And if you are, people like Mary will be indirectly very grateful to you for this. Mary, thank you for the insight on that. God bless you. I used to work at Head Starts forever. But is this true? I heard this the other day. I can't verify it. I probably should dig. That Head Start is still requiring the kids to wear masks inside and outside?
It is currently CDC recommended for pre-K that the kids wear masks. Under 3 years old, not.
You obviously have a lot of experience in child development. Now, how likely is it for a four-year-old kid, a five-year-old kid, a seven-year-old kid, to wear a mask, not touch it every 6 seconds, not sneeze into it, not pull it off his face, not wear the same one day in and day out? How likely is that?
The touching it, I mean, we actually, the kids got used to wearing them fairly easily. I'm not going to say they were wearing them, you know, such that the hospital would have said, yeah, this is great. But I mean, one thing that COVID did for us is we went almost 2 years without a flu outbreak or a hand, foot, and mouth disease outbreak that closed down a room or a center.
You think that's because of the mask, or do you think that's because people basically stayed home?
Well, I mean, it was, you know, some of it was our cleaning, some of it was masking, some of it was our staff masking. But I mean, it wasn't until after all of the mandates got lifted that we had to shut a center down for 2 days because between staff and kids, we had so many people out for the flu. But we made it almost 2 years without having anything like that. And it had been an annual occurrence before that.
Interesting. Mary, thank you. I appreciate the call very much. God bless you. Good luck with the hiring. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Richard, when I come back from the break, you are up. And then also anyone else who wishes to call in at any time, you have equal chance to get on the phone. Number is 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. Some people say, I tried to call in, but I couldn't get through. Well, you can always get through. We got a lot of lines. We got 9 lines. So feel free. And the line number 1 and line number 2 are for potty training questions, if you know what I mean.
What responsibility does social media bear in promoting the truth? The Catholic Catechism notes that in our modern society, the communications media plays a major role in societal information, cultural promotion, and formation. Since society has a right to information that is based on truth, justice, freedom, and solidarity, every segment of the communications culture bears a heavy responsibility for the common good. Media content within the bounds of justice and charity must be true and complete and communicated honestly and properly. The Catechism cautions us to be vigilant rather than passive consumers of information in order to resist unwholesome influences. Journalists are urged to respect the facts while still observing charity by not stooping to defamation of individuals. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio, weekdays on Ave Maria Radio.
Americans are curious about the religious devotion of others and are willing to discuss the topic, but most say they rarely have conversations about faith with their Christian friends. A study by Lifeway Research finds Americans are widely receptive to spiritual conversations in a variety of settings. Now, perhaps more than ever, people are open to conversions about faith, yet few Christians actually take the opportunity to engage in personal evangelism. The reason conversations are not happening about the Christian faith is that Christians are not bringing it up. And I think this is key. Now, this person is not saying we shouldn't be concerned about religious liberty in the sense of, yes, there is great persecution out there. But at the end of the day, it is about the fact that we're not doing enough talking about Jesus.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio, weekday mornings from 8 to 10 on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net.
Went to a fast food place yesterday. I said, I'd like some fries with that. The girl said, would you like fries with that? Okay. Richard calling from North Carolina. Hi, Richard. How are you?
Dr. Ray, good afternoon. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it, sir.
You know, I think a lot of these kids, including my 58-year-old stepson, has what they call eyeball rectumitis, is when they have a crappy outlook on life.
Now, wait a minute. You don't... Okay, your stepson is 58. That puts you around 80. You don't sound 80 at all.
I just turned 72 yesterday. 72 going on 20, and my wife is 76. Yeah, we're young at heart.
You go after those older women, huh?
I love him, yeah. I'm just what, yeah. Yeah.
So this is her son.
This is her son, yes, sir.
And could you say that his history, well, how long have you been married?
We've been married, going on 44 years this August.
Oh, okay.
So we've been together, yeah.
You came on the scene when he was about 14, 15.
Yes, sir.
Was there troubles then?
There was a little bit, yeah. He had issues, and I think part of that is his self-esteem from his father. That just probably boils down to the beginning of it, and He was.
Or would you say he wasn't raised
at
well?
At 14. No, he was raised very well. They had money. He had his father had a business, and it was just something with him. He's bipolar, dyslexic. When he was 10, 11, 12 years old, he used to take the neighbor's cars for joy rides.
Whoa.
He was into motorcycles. Oh, yeah, he was quite the character at that age.
Well, and you know, when I hear this,
he had a hands full.
Richard, I don't want to go off on a tangent on you, but I will. Right. When I hear stuff like this, kid doing these things at 11 and 12, the very first thing I'm saying, okay, now where were the parents? What's going on here? You know, yes, there are those kids that are tough. But with responding parents, those kids are a lot less common than they seem to be now in the U.S. So it sounds like this 58-year-old stepson has just had a shambles in his life. He just hasn't done well for decades. Right?
But now there's another son that's 7 years younger. I mean, he's a mother's dream. Smart, well-mannered, taken care of. He does well. I think. I don't know what happened to him. I think it was just part of his esteem with his father.
He's wired different. You know, that's probably probably that's a better explanation. So, given all the problems he's had for all these many decades, what kind of position are you in with him now?
I mean, we're close. We're tight. His mother's tight, but I'm more of the disciplinarian. I am a very strict person. His mother, I would have to say, is the enabler. I mean, he's done prison time, short times, a couple of years here or there. He was into drugs, and I think that's another part of the problem.
I mean, Richard, you're answering my question here,
okay.
Which is, when I said, did he have good upbringing? You said, oh, yeah, he had a good upbringing. Then you just said his mom is an enabler. Now, you don't just turn into an enabler when your kid's 58 years old. You were kind of permissive in that way when he was 15. So,
yes. Yeah.
Okay. So as a result, that this young man, given his particular temperament and given the fact that the parents struggled to limit him, put rules on him, to control him, he's had a long, long history. Well, at this point, is she still enabling him?
To a point, yeah.
Aha. Well, my friend, you're in big trouble.
I know. That's why I'm looking for more advice. Because
well, if you want to fight with her, you can fight with her. You know that's what'll happen, right? You'll disagree on how to deal with him. She'll give him money. You'll say, no, we don't want to give him money anymore.
No.
She'll.
Well, we got kind of a rules we're going down now, and I mean, yeah, the money has been an issue. We have given him money at times, but now for the last year or so, money has been totally out of the question. It's just food.
And well, wait a minute. She finally reached her limit when he was 57.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. All right, so at this point, and I don't want to sound callous here, but at this point, what can you really do?
North of us is a town, Hickory, North Carolina, there's a couple of Christian ministries. I suggested that to him, and I said, hey, listen, this is where you're going to go. But he doesn't want structure. He said, in my position, the way I am, he says, I can't take structure, and I'll probably get kicked out. I said, well, then you'll be on the street, and nothing we can do. And
hey, wait a minute. Would his mother allow that to happen?
Oh, yeah, she would. Yeah, she said, well, let me tell you, her mother, his mother, my wife, she got the virus 2 years ago in congestive heart failure. She's on oxygen right now.
Oh, boy.
And she's still dealing with this. Oh, yeah.
So
I don't need it, and I keep telling her.
She can't take the stress of this grown child.
She can't take the stress, and she's not a fighter like she used to be. She's
well, then I think the best thing you can do, Richard, is to support her in her finally saying enough is enough, and to support her in, and I know she does this, she's beating herself up, because what kind of mother was I? What did I do? Why did that just happen? Why do I got to?
Yeah.
I know it. Hey, do I know these things or do I know these things?
and you know, I told her I was going to call you. I need some more ideas and to see what you say. She's going to hear this later, so give it to her, please.
The time for her to beat herself up is over. It's over. Whatever happened, happened. What she did, she was doing with good intentions, however misguided. It was good intention. She didn't say, let me see if I can mess my kid up. That was not what she was doing. So at this point, she has to decide, and this is the key question for her. Are we helping him by continuing to do what we've done for the last 40 years? That's the question she has to answer. Not the question, I can't take it anymore. I'm frail. I've got physical problems. Therefore, I'm responding this way because I can't take it anymore. No, she's going to respond this way because she's decided it's the only thing that would probably be better for her son at this time. And you know as well as I do, Richard, he may just be dead set in his ways, and he isn't going to change no matter what.
Yeah, I think so. And she's worried that if he goes out, he might kill himself or,
well,
or
that's,
overdose
that's,
on drugs or
that's
something.
Even at this point. Yep. Most of the time, parents worry about that when the kid's 22. This kid's 58.
Yeah. They're close. They're close, but still, yeah. And everybody's taken him in. He's on his third wife just kicked him out, and his younger brother is willing to take him in. But then again, we have
friend,
to keep both eyes on him.
Sometimes, in the words of that great philosopher, Clint Eastwood, a man's got to know his limitations. God bless you, my friend. I'll talk to you. This is Dr. Ray.
Did you know Franciscan University of Steubenville offers a Master's of Arts in Catholic Studies? Our unique program offers courses from many academic disciplines: literature, biology, art, theology, psychology, all taught from a distinctly Catholic perspective. This 100% online program can be completed in just 1 year. Learn to see the world through a Catholic lens with a Master's in Catholic Studies from Franciscan University of Steubenville. Find out more at franciscan.edu/MCS.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Healthcare that works better and costs less. Seems like an oxymoron, right? Take a minute and check out our sponsor, Solidarity Healthshare. Members say that faith-based health sharing is a much better fit than insurance, all while costing less. Prices start at $384 a month for families. Call now to see how much you can save. 844-417-0636. That's 844-417-0636.
This program underwritten by...
A battle is raging in America for the plight of the unborn. Now is the time to pray and to get involved. Do not miss the new award-winning movie, The Matter of Life. The Matter of Life has been hailed as the best film ever produced concerning the unborn and can be seen for 2 nights only in a theater near you. Visit FathomEvents.com now to reserve your tickets for May 16th or May 17th. That's FathomEvents.com. FathomEvents.com. It's a matter of life.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
And from San Diego, I won't take your question on the air because we're running out of time, but I don't know about that toy. I know nothing about it. I don't know exactly all I know is Andrew put up a picture of it here, and that's the limit of my knowledge. Sherry from Ohio. Where are you calling from in Ohio, Sherry?
Delaware,
down by Columbus.
Yeah.
All right. So apparently... your mother accused your husband of, I don't know, a couple of things he did nasty, I guess. He said, I didn't do that stuff. Or she misinterpreted or she misunderstood it. And now they're at loggerheads?
Well, she came up missing some money, and she basically said, in so many words, like, had to be you.
Whoa,
that's
a heavy accusation.
Right, and then a few months later, it was the medication, and then she was sort of like, she didn't come right out and say he did it, but she's like, I'm getting tired of this, and was, you know, very, he felt accused And she later found both, and she knew that she was the one who misplaced it, and she didn't really come out and say she was sorry until she was kind of made to realize, you know, what, you know, how he,
he's
she
not willing
to
for, he's not willing to forget it, right?
Yeah, he's holding it pretty tight. I mean, he will be with her and around her, but not if I'm not around. Like, he says he's just worried about what she could accuse him of next.
How old is your mom? And
my mom is 86. And so that's part of my struggle.
Yeah, now I can't say, but it's not unusual for somebody who's starting to struggle with a little cognitive slippage.
Right.
To get a little paranoid and accusatory.
Right.
My grandmother did that to my aunt. Why are you taking this? Why did you take this? We didn't take your medication. Yes, you did. And then even when they and she found out they didn't, it was still didn't register. Is there any other sign that your mother's starting to slip a little?
No. And I really, like, searched for it. I almost want it to exist, you know, just so it doesn't feel like it's something my mom would normally do.
Although has she does ever done this before?
No.
Okay.
But she does struggle with, like, a need to be a good person and to be capable. You know what I mean? Like, always capable of things. So when she becomes when she starts to see herself not being maybe capable.
Well, you're looking for a psychological explanation, Sherry. And that's what many people do when an elderly person sometimes, and I can't say this, I don't know your mom and I'm not saying it, but when an elderly person starts to get a little quirky in their personality, which is oftentimes one of the earliest signs of an onset of probably Alzheimer's, most common dementia, only after a couple, 3 years do they say, you know, that's kind of when it started, back when, blah, blah, blah. I would approach your husband with this. I would say, we don't know. First of all, establish from him that she's never done this before. How long have you been married?
Almost 40 years.
All right. And she's never done this to him, right? She's never accused him of something like this.
No. Right. No, they've had a great relationship.
Right. So I would say to your husband, we don't know why mom did this. However, it is possible that her thinking's getting just a little bit mixed up.
Yeah.
As a result, can you give her the benefit of the doubt? Can you not take this personally? Because that's what he's doing. How dare she accuse me of this? I'm a good person. I would never do that. She is so far out of line. Now, if he's nervous about her accusing him again, I can understand that. Because if, in fact, she is slipping a little bit, it could happen again.
Right.
So that's probably pretty wise that you just visit her together. That's good. But you got to get him over the feeling of being unfairly targeted. How dare she?
Right.
Tell him, look, we don't know, and we may not know for another 2-3 years if this is what it is. However, it's a possibility, and let's live it at that possibility. Because keep in mind, Sherry, if you'd have told me, oh, you know, my mom and my husband, they've had a history. They've always rubbed each other the wrong way. But you're not telling me that. You're telling me, no, these are two people who got along. So I think what your husband is doing is what I've seen many other people do, which is when they are accused of someone who is starting to ease into dementia, they get very angry. They take it personally. How dare they? I would never steal off of anybody. What is this? And that's what happens. Instead of saying, you know, she's never done it before. This is really odd. This is unusual. So there may be an explanation here that has nothing to do with me. That's the approach I'd take with him, Sherry. And hopefully he is open enough to say, okay, all right, I'll just give her the benefit of the doubt. Not a problem. And I'll let go of my resentment. Is he capable of doing that?
I don't know. He says he thinks it's total BS and her
Well,
because she is pretty capable, but, you know.
Well, you know what he's going to say. He's going to say, she's got a totally sound mind. There's nothing wrong with her mind whatsoever. And that's true. But it's, if it is on set, then there is that chance that this is just the very beginning. And I'm hoping you can get him to see that. Jerry, sorry I didn't get to you. I would like to hear what you had to say. Give me a call because we can always help parents in that direction. Thank you for joining me. Thanks, Eric Dumont. And thanks, Anna Kruchek over there in Ave. Walk with God. Always walk with God. He'll be with you if you let him.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.